Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Arsenal just don't have a Tom Kearney, Jim.
Apparently not. No, apparently we don't.
Don't have a Paulinho either.
No. But when it started raining, the glee on his face, like, oh, the distance I'll get on these slides. He doesn't always need to go to ground. It's like a man at a water park.
It's a lifelong project of a life on the lash, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool are top, but Arsenal are struggling. It's Tuesday, 2nd of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Eddie Russell.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Oi, oi, happy new year and all that bollocks, everybody. How you doing, Brassel?
Oi,
oi.
Good.
Come on. It's 2024, the year of us.
Did you have to open 2024? Did that right kind of fall at your door?
Or? I tried to even get the keys out of his pocket.
I turned up to do it. Pitbull had already done it.
Bloody thought, time zones.
And I thought, if I'm going to be upstaged by somebody, then fair play.
The bull.
Old Pit is himself. Vish, nice to see you here, of course.
Thank you. Yeah, I've eaten a lot over the last few weeks, and I'm more sluggish than ever.
Excellent.
Bring on 2024.
There we go.
Okay. Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone listening, and you, of course, Marcus.
Right.
You looked at me like you wanted me to wish you specifically, so
don't
I thought I'd do.
Never
that.
Refer to me as everyone. Now,
apart from that, don't you?
Big news, Jim Campbell, is we have a winner for our first Toshiba Fire QLED TV. Here we go. Our winner is the wonderfully named Lydia Bliss.
Lydia Bliss.
How about that? Lydia, we've emailed you, so please respond with your address and the good people at Toshiba will get you your brand new 50-inch TV delivered right away. So for anyone else, don't worry, because we've got two more to give away. Okay, so before you get all envious of Lydia Bliss, just calm down and listen to the end of today's show after the ads, where Pete Donaldson will tell you how to enter round two.
to win another. It's not like you've got to go through loads of rounds to get to the... Not like the Nations League. Yeah, exactly. So Pete will tell you how to enter Group D to get into the to win this one of our two remaining televisions. The entries have been reset, so if you've already entered, you need to put your name in the hat once again. So please note that unfortunately only UK listeners are eligible to enter. We will announce the winner of our second TV on Friday. There we are. Right, let's start with some highlights of the weekend. Andy Brassel, get us off to a blistering start, please.
Well, as everyone knows, of course, it's AFCON month and Asian Cup month.
Mm.
And I think it's lovely that I, as the supporter of a League Two team, am in the position to exult that two of our players have been called up, or complain that we'll be without them for January. So Ali Alhamady, we knew, was going off with Iraq to the Asian Cup, but his strike partner, Omar Bougil, is going with Lebanon as well.
Right.
So we'll be scouring the loan market, but I have found in general people are just pleased for them rather than, oh, you're going to miss a load of games.
Yeah. But yeah. What is your highlight? The fact that you've got two AFC Wimbledon players.
Two of our players are going to go up to a major tournament.
Boast. You've chosen this section to boast, have you?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And he called them our players, not AFC Wimbledon's players.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy.
I'm professional.
Very. No, that is nice. I like that. A couple of your players will get a break from AFC Wimbledon and go on the international stage. Good luck to them. Vitushan.
My highlight of the week is Noni Madueke calling Jules Breach bro.
Luton Chelsea.
Yeah, it was at the end of the game. She was interviewing Madueke and Cole Palmer, and she wished them a happy new year, and Madueke went, cheers, bro. And to be fair, Jules Breach is a bro, you know. So I know a lot of people in this room have said some quite heinous things about him. Looking at you, Andy. But no, she's a good egg. But no, I just really enjoyed that, yeah.
Former presenter of the Football Ramble, of course, who don't know. And used to give you a torrid time, but of course, now she's no longer a part of this parish, doesn't have the right to reply.
Madueke is taken on the mantle.
Jim Campbell.
On Sunday, I went for a lovely stroll through Fulham with my friend and yours, Marcus C. Speller.
Here I am.
Won't call you everyone as well. You are separate from that, I suppose. And after that, it got a bit shit, but that bit was nice. I do recommend having a lovely little stroll through that part of the world with Marcus. It'll be pleasant. The company will be great. The chat will be exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what happens after that might not be as good, which we'll come on to.
Yeah.
But that was what I've pulled from the wreckage
of this
weekend.
What was the second stroll like on the way back? The
second stroll on the way back was it had been raining for ages, it was muddy, and it was shit.
tell the people how the locals kind of respond to me as I walk through Putney and Fulham.
They sort of, they all bow.
Yeah.
It's really...
even in the mud.
Quite something, even in the mud. Yeah, wow. He prefers that. They will lay their items, their garments, beneath his feet when there's mud. And it's some fine stuff as well, you'd imagine in that part of the world.
Absolutely right, so.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful and haunting, because none of them make a sound or eye contact.
Quite eerie, yeah.
You sense that they're frightened of their ruler.
Yeah.
And that they've wronged him before and paid
learned.
The price.
Yeah, they've seen what's happened to someone who's spoken up.
We've got a good agreement. They'll never do it again. My highlight of the weekend, of course, was Tom Kearney being offered a contract extension at Fulham. Get that man signed up. Man of the match, of course, he was against Arsenal. But more on that in a short while, Jim. We've got the small matter of Liverpool 4, Newcastle United 2 to get through. My goodness, all the goals in the second half. For anybody who turned off at halftime thinking, not really, you fools. Mm. You bloody fools. Some of the stats, Andy, I know you're a fan of XG. Liverpool had 7.27 XG in that game, the highest since the Premier League started measuring expected goals.
Normally, Marcus, I would check a stat that jumps out like that, but I don't feel the need to on this occasion. And may I say, if anyone did turn off at halftime, more fool them, not because of what happened in the second half, but you could definitely tell that something was going to happen. It was a mad game to be 0-0 at halftime.
Yes, it was, yeah. And obviously Salah had missed a penalty in the first half. It was a great save, but he made amends after. But, I mean, it was very, very entertaining. Obviously, Liverpool go top-vish. They've been
they've been hanging around the top of the table for a while. I mean, how good a performance...
Hanging around the top of the table.
Yeah. Like they're loitering.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
Like he's a slot machine. He just says, it's going to pay out a bit.
I still think that... I get the impression that some people are still not quite convinced about Liverpool this season.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
I
know what you mean. Yeah, I do know what you mean. But I think that kind of played out yesterday in the first half, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I suppose the Manchester United game where they should have won. Their lead currently is... 3 points over Villa. Probably should be 5 because they should have won that game against United. But it was that United game, and I suppose just the frustration they were clearly showing in that first half, and you know the chances Newcastle had as well. Newcastle had the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah,
bear in mind before it was ruled out for offside, rightly. But yeah, I mean, I suppose that's why they do look they went on a decent run, which is why they're in this position.
Yeah.
But you see a lot of them in play that you're like, hey, something doesn't quite fit here. Everything's a little bit disjointed. But then when they, you know, when they have the second half that they do yesterday, you're like, okay, fine, fair enough. But I suppose you can see why people think it's unsustainable.
Yeah, I mean, they've only lost once all season.
Yeah.
They've got the best goal difference in the league. Only Manchester City have scored more than them, you know, like, and as you say, they're top, and we're in a tight pack at the top.
It's also the only, isn't it? It's only Manchester City, yeah, because it's always Manchester City.
Well, Manchester City win their game in hand, they'll be 2 points behind Liverpool, yeah. Which 20 games into the season, Andy, I'm sure at the start of the season, Liverpool fans would have bitten both of your hands off.
I know about that. I think knowing what City are like in the second half of the season, you want more of a lead.
Do you think that's it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the issue is not that Liverpool aren't good, not that they aren't capable of winning the league, but they're far from flawless, I think is the issue. And if we're talking about loitering, the loiterers are Manchester City. They're the loomers, actually, aren't they? Because they've started to find...
You're talking about the treble winners from last season, Andy.
Yeah, but, you know, they've had a difficult patch, a very difficult patch, and there's no getting away from that. Whereas now, there are only a few tiny little signs that, you know, they're going to do that thing where they really extend themselves. And how Liverpool and everyone else cope with that is the big question.
Cope without Mo Salah as well, of course.
I think the thing I've always found... Well, yeah, I guess we'll come back to Salah. I guess the thing that I've always found interesting about Liverpool in this first half of the season is how they've managed to get themselves to this position despite the fact that they are clearly quite a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have their good bits. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they can get so much better. So Darwin can start putting his chances away. Mm. That midfield, who I still think, like, if we sat around and discussed for 15 minutes what their best midfield was, their best midfield three was, I don't think we'd come to a consensus between us. And of course, Endo going off as well for January is a big deal for them, I would suggest. Not quite as big a deal as Salah, but a big deal nevertheless. But yeah, those moments where you still think, if Liverpool are really going to win the title, like, this is a game they should have put away really easily. And you talked about the Salah penalty in the first half. I mean, it was a decent save from Dubravka, but that wasn't really the miss. The Trent Alexander-Arnold one, it was an extraordinary miss, because you could see it coming back from Dubravka and you thought, oh, he's definitely going to score this because he's taking his time over it. He's got his eye on it. And then he just completely shins it.
Do you think it's
really strange.
But can we also talk about the half volley from out wide on the right that hit
the
bar?
We can.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Stunning.
Roberto Carlos was applauding that.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Carragher referencing the Roberto Carlos goal.
Because that's the only other reference I've got from, which is why it's such a rare thing, and it's gutting from the for a football purist that it didn't go in.
I thought that even as a Manchester United fan, I was like, that deserves to go in. Mm. And I suppose we're in an era now with highlights and the way people just like churn them out on social media that it was immediately out on Twitter, currently known as X.
Yes, right. Hopefully, in future it'll be formally known as X.
Yeah. you know, within a matter of minutes. So, you know, it's there for everyone to see. But it's just a gorgeous strike.
But do you think that's why he missed that chance with the penalty? He's used to just whacking them from far out. So if he's a bit closer...
Got to put the laces through it.
He doesn't know.
I thought he hit it into the ground with the one that he put over the bar.
Yeah.
But maybe he just had a little bit too much time to decide what to do with it. Who knows?
Yeah, quite possibly. Liverpool win the game sort of fairly comfortably. One of the more controversial moments of the game was when Jota went down sort of fairly easily for Salah's second penalty. I mean, what do you think of this one, Jim? I mean, some say, you know, why Jamie Carragher said, why did he go down? He could have carried on.
Yeah.
But that's perhaps not, that's not where the controversy is. The controversy is the awarding of the penalty.
Yeah, I'm sort of slightly baffled as to how he went down. I think he's probably he's felt contact, isn't there? There's a tiny bit of it there.
He's decided, gone,
you know,
to
what,
go down.
I'll kind of reduce the odds here, presumably. I guess these decisions are made really, really quickly, and it looks like a crazy, crazy decision to make, doesn't it, in real time? But obviously, you're thinking very fast in a situation like this. But yeah, the whole thing's very confusing.
Well, I mean, there was the other one, of course, up the other end with Newcastle. Thought they should have had a penalty.
Were you surprised not more was made of that at the time? I know they check everything, so and because we only know they're checking it because the commentators tell us. Mm-hmm. And I think the ball had gone back the other end, hadn't it? It was only when Eddie Howe brought it up at the end that you thought, oh yeah, right, that was actually something. Because Endo clips Longstaff's heels after chesting that ball from Anthony Gordon. And I think maybe they didn't look at it because...
Well, Longstaff didn't appeal.
Because he chests it into... I think he didn't appeal because he was annoyed that he didn't have a better control of the ball. Because he basically chests it back to Alisson.
Yeah.
Instead of properly running onto it. But yeah, that was a little bit odd.
Well, anyway, look, it wasn't given, and Howe was obviously quite annoyed at that. You know, after the game, he spoke about it. Andy, not that long ago on the pod, Luke, you and I were talking about Eddie Howe, and Luke suggested that he would be under pressure and was concerned about his position at Newcastle United if this kind of continues. And you and I sort of agreed with you. I'm sure a lot of people did. Was like, Howe's got a lot of good credit in the bank there, but the run they're on is poor. And they've got some tough games coming up.
It is. But I still stand by what I said. I think there's...
How long are you going to stand by that?
till one
win. I have a 1-30.
One
win
out of 26. Yeah, I think you have to bear in mind that everyone there, as I said at the time, knew it would be a difficult season. Mm. And you look at the resources that are available at the moment, just saying, oh, we got the PIF money. that doesn't really make any sense when you look at the squad they've got and the strength in depth that they need at the moment. Of course, I guess if there are questions over how, it's like, for example, why do you bring in, say, Hall and not give him a game? Because he should have had a few by now, and you know, maybe there's a doubt over him, maybe he's not adapting, you know, we don't really know, but it seems to me unusual in a position in which they've been a little bit weak that he, for example, hasn't had more games. So maybe that's a sense that he could have rotated a little bit more. And of course the question that maybe he flogs his team a bit hard, because you know, it's a really physically intensive way of playing. Having said that, I still don't think he's in any trouble at all. I think you have to be realistic.
I mean, I think it would be silly if they did that.
Yeah, I mean, the question was, did I think he was in trouble? Not, do I think he should be in trouble?
Yeah, of course.
I would say no and no. Yeah. Still, but you know, it wasn't a great performance. They looked pretty shoddy. Having said that, I think the fact that they managed to kind of cling on and keep themselves in the game for so long, mm-hmm. gives them a bit of credit. It reminded me a bit of, you know, that Spurs-Barcelona game, mm-hmm. at Wembley?
Yeah, 4-2.
Yeah, where Messi and Rakitic are absolutely taking Spurs to bits. And there are bits in that game where you're thinking, how are Spurs still even in this?
Yeah.
How is this possible? And I think this is very similar.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fairly good comparison as well.
I mean, ideally, we wanted a third Newcastle goal, right? Liverpool-Newcastle should always be 4-3.
Yes.
And you, yeah, have a go at me for 90s references. Jürgen Klopp lost his ring while celebrating with some Liverpool fans, Jim.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He said a really funny thing about that after the game as well. He said, I lost it once and I needed a professional diver because I lost it in the sea. From time to time, it happens when I lose 1 or 2 kilos. I was too lively and I lost it and had a massive shock. The cameraman annoyed me quite a few times this season, but now he has a lot of shots free because that was really important. It's like, still having a dig. Just like anyone in Klopp's orbit tends to just sort of catch strays when he's sort of in a particular mood.
Well, he got the ring back.
He did.
So thanks
for the quick thinking of the cameraman. Well, the regular speed looking.
dearie me. Yeah, so Liverpool are top, and Newcastle, they are, you know, all the way down in ninth now, quite incredibly. I had to double check that, everybody. Mm.
They've got a pig of a run as well. They've got City up next, obviously, so that's not ideal, is it?
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of put it into context, how, you know, poorly their season has started to become. They're only 1 point above Chelsea. so there you go.
They're behind Manchester United as well.
They are.
I honestly saw them at the start of the season and thought, this is a season where, if they have it tough, they can finish 14th.
Well, there's a lot of football and a lot of intense football to be played.
If they get... I think the general feeling is if they get any sort of European qualification out of this season, that's pretty decent. And do you know what? Mm. I think people within the club thought that would be a decent result at the start of the season.
So if that were to be the case and they were to... or were it rather not to be the case and they finished outside the European places, do you think they'd even stick with Howe then? Or would that be too much of a...
Maybe. I think it's more about the manner. And we're talking about a regression. We're talking about a regression from a fourth place spot that was almost impossible to repeat. Exactly, from an overachievement.
Yeah. Liverpool, of course, will be without Mo Salah. As we said, he's going off to the Africa Cup of Nations. He did say any Liverpool player can do what he does.
I think you've proven that not to be the case, Mo.
Yeah.
One player who won't be heading to the Africa Cup of Nations, everybody, is Guinea midfielder Morlaye Sylla. He's been left out of the squad after a fallout with his teammates and manager back in the summer, where he accused them all of stealing the shirt he'd swapped with Vinicius Junior.
I way to prove you definitely nicked it.
Story. I love
you
this
all
story.
Stole it. They're all there's loads of selfies of them. Take it. You have it for a week.
But it's gone somewhere, isn't it?
Well,
someone's had it.
It's not in all. Yeah, I don't. It's fair to say it was a surprise. Surprise for Sylla. Right.
Jesus. What? It's not even a 90s reference. That
no. Sylla was operating in the 90s.
She was operating in the 90s.
She was still at large.
Yeah. It wasn't vintage Sylla, but it was still Sylla. In fact, I would argue it was all vintage Sylla.
She was beyond her thieving days, but yeah.
Unbelievable. Fulham 2.
Well, she was a thief.
Was she?
Yeah, she stole Dionne Warwick's songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say she stole Dionne Warwick's like purse or something.
No, it's much better. You know, if you steal a shirt, yeah, don't steal someone's back catalogue.
All
yeah.
right, okay. Fulham 2, Arsenal 1. Oh, God, can we just keep talking about Sylla? Arsenal lost for the second time in the space of a week. They ended the year in fourth, having been top at Christmas. Arteta called it Arsenal's worst performance of the season. A Fulham fan was caught on camera mimicking Arsenal fans' tears, Jim.
I saw him, yeah.
You were sat next to him, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the Fulham end with Marcus, as we've discussed. So yeah. That was quite unpleasant. Although there are, if there's any ground in the Premier League you want to be in that situation, then it is Craven Cottage, because it was still fine.
You can say a lot of things about Fulham, very obvious, but unpleasant.
Dot. Yeah, I was going to say. Mm. Yeah. People still think it's a neutral stand, by the way. And I understand why, but...
But you've turned them all into ultras.
It hasn't been a neutral stand for many, many years, of course, right. At Fulham. But, you know, as I say, some people may be forgiven for thinking that it still was. But, yeah, great win for Fulham. You've got to say, Vish, they hadn't won in a few games in the Premier League. Obviously, they had their back-to-back 5-0 wins, which we will never, ever forget. But they'd gone on a bit of an unpleasant run. But now they're back, it's fair to say. But they were brilliant, though. They really, really were. And Raul Jimenez straight back in the side, Andy. Bang! That's what you get.
Well, that's... really what makes the difference between a decent Fulham season and a struggling Fulham season, because I know you've been trying to wean yourself off him, but the whole not having Mitrovic anymore thing,
like
replacing a player like that when you're at Fulham sort of level, it's really, really complicated, because it's going to normally cost you the thick end of 40, 50 million if you can get that player to come. So really you have to stake yourself on a player who's not doing it elsewhere.
But him and the buffers is now elsewhere. It.
But that's where
he's
he
scoring
was, though.
Goals.
He wasn't scoring goals. Yeah. So they took a massive punt on him, really.
This is all ancient history been, now, Andy,
well,
by the way.
But they've been rewarded by taking that punt.
Exactly,
they?
Yeah. And now he's, you know, there was chat, is he gonna be the starting striker, or are they gonna have to go for one of the, you know, Carlos Vinicius and one or two others that they could try out. He's in the band now. It sort of suddenly changed.
And that was a really great finish as well.
It was a beautiful finish, really. Yeah, you see him now playing with confidence, and he is the Raul Jimenez that we all know and love, and it's beautiful to see, quite frankly.
Yeah, you would think that scoring against Arsenal would mean quite a lot to him as well, given that it was against Arsenal where he had that horrible injury that actually took so much of his career away from him. And that was the concern, wasn't it? We were all kind of worried that this really, really great, quite elegant striker wasn't necessarily going to get back to that level. And despite it obviously being a painful blow for me, you can't help but be thrilled for him. And I really hope he can just keep that form up, and that...
Yeah.
Maybe it was a psychological barrier he needed to cross, but it looks like he's crossed it now. He's playing with so much confidence.
It's a really unlikely comeback, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, and it feels like it's already been quite a seminal season for him, not least because he, as you say, like just from us watching him, he does seem back to the player he was before the injury. But also, it was only about a month ago that he scored his first header since that injury as well. So little things like that all play a part in it. I think it's understated, but I suppose we don't necessarily really talk about the psychological trauma of something like that and how difficult it is to come back from it. In part because there is just so much football, you end up talking about loads of different things. But no, it's great to see. And I thought just to move on to the Arsenal slant of it, Jamie Carragher mentioned something yesterday. Looking back on the game, and that he said that the problem with Arsenal's front three at the moment is that everything feels quite choreographed, and that's not necessarily just a front three problem. But I've watched a fair bit of Arsenal this season, and I felt like that's kind of the case, but more after Carragher said it, when I thought, well, I suppose you do know how they're going to play, and it feels like when you're watching Arsenal, there are these elaborate set plays that look really pretty and intricate. And obviously, when it doesn't go right, you kind of think, oh, maybe they're not, as Carragher said, off the cuff enough. But Jim, you obviously see them in the flesh more and more. Has that come to pass in December at all, then?
I think so, yeah. I think standards have dropped in general, and that's making everything look really difficult at the moment. And I think that kind of predictability, the kind of choreographed nature of it, as Carragher sort of put it, is a symptom of that. Arteta spoke a lot at the start of the season about wanting to control games more, and the payoff of that was you lose a bit of that kind of fluidity that made them quite an exciting team to watch last season. They've not been as good to watch this season, and I think actually what has happened is, in controlling games more, controlling possession more, it's become sort of ineffective, and when it doesn't work, and when the team aren't at the races, it just becomes a lot of sort of meaningless possession that gets shuffled wide. The main problem at the moment is the pace of everything. I think everything is slightly slow, slightly ponderous. So it's not just that teams can predict what they're going to do. Teams have times to set themselves against it as well. Like, just the ball is just not moving fast enough, and that seems to be at the root of all of the problems.
They didn't create anything against Fulham. No. I mean, Saka had that chance, but it was from a real defensive balls up between Bassi and Robinson, who were brilliant, by the way. And I'm glad as a Fulham fan, but I'm glad that never went in, because both of them were brilliant. I mean, Robinson,
Pelinha as well.
Pelinha, but Fulham have got such a nice balance in midfield now. You've got, the magnificent Tom Kearney in there doing his thing, Pelinha munching away, and then Iwobi, who's full of industry, and if not Iwobi, Pereira. And, Arsenal just don't have a Tom Kearney, Jim.
Apparently not. No, apparently we don't.
Don't have a Pelinha either.
No.
I mean, he's got, in the flesh, that man's legs.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, obviously we've all seen Jao Pelinha. We know how good he is. We know he loves a slide tackle, but you're right, in the flesh. When it started raining, the glee on his face. The distance I'll get on these slides. He doesn't always need to go to ground. It's like a man at a water park. generally it's considered,
The kids at weddings when they just do knee slides on the dance floor. There's an element of that I feel about Pelinha.
If a player goes to ground and attempts a slide tackle, the kind of received wisdom is that they're only in that situation because they've let things get desperate. He's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
He's so good at it.
He should never ever play in Southern Europe. Just doesn't rain enough. Right. It's too dry.
It's a funny thing though, isn't it? When you see him playing as he is at the moment after that little hiccup at the start of the season, it underlines how incredibly valuable he is. Like, Fulham are going to make a fortune from him, because so many top teams not just would love a player like that, they would love him specifically.
Absolutely.
I think that's the thing. But in terms of Arsenal, Jim, I wanted to ask, actually,
you're really getting it today, aren't you?
You really are.
Are you going to still support them?
are you going to stand by Arsenal Football Club?
He's already in the neutral stand.
Yeah. Do you now disrespect Arsenal fan TV?
No more than before.
I think the thing that struck me about this is the fact that you've got to kind of manage games at this time of year, haven't you? Because they're all so incredibly close together. It's almost like the goal did come a little bit early, because it's like, okay, right, we've got over the hump. Mm-hmm. We've got ourselves in front, because they seem to shut off after that. And I know that you said there've been difficulties with Arsenal recently, putting the ball in the back of the net is maybe not been that fluid, etc. But the performances haven't been terrible.
Well, this is whereas this one was
different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Villa game, it was frustrating to lose it, obviously, but there was still a lot of positivity there because they played really well in the game. West Ham were absolutely brilliant at sort of limiting the quality of Arsenal shots, but they did have a lot of shots. This was completely different. As you say, it was just really, really stodgy. And I think probably some sort of confidence issue in there as well. And I think, actually, it's easy to be wise after the fact. This was probably a Jorginho and Rice game because there just wasn't the control in the midfield needed to just, you know, as a platform for attacks. It was just really, really stodgy. And I think as well, actually, something that's maybe starting to show is the absence of Thomas Partey, because he is a player who can just progress the ball very well, very quickly. And as I've said, that's what has not been happening so much. So,
It's how Arsenal respond, because you know, Manchester City...
I mean, you've got to do without the players you're missing, obviously, and find alternative solutions. But
of course.
I think he's, you know, his skill set is one that's lacking.
Indeed, but it's how Arsenal respond to this, because, you know, Manchester City have you know, sort of skewed this a bit, and to a little bit of a lesser extent Liverpool in recent seasons. Most of the time, teams do have a little bit of a blip, even if they go on to win a title. You know, Ferguson's United, you know, there was, you know, 90s reference, always lose away at Southampton and get hammered. And they go, hey, what's all this about? And there was, there's a bit of ebb and flow. You know, Liverpool have been consistent despite people not being too sure. Aston Villa, you know, they get a penalty in the last minute against 10-man Burnley and they get a vital win. Otherwise, that would have been three games without a victory for them in their...
And they're not played well in any of them.
No, so that was a huge win just in terms of the actual 3 points. Manchester City have had a blip this season. They did last season. Look what they went on to do. So with Arsenal, they're 5 points off the top of the league. It's still all to play for. Of course it is. It's just now how they respond. You know, the next games are crucial. And in fact, even though it's Liverpool, perhaps it's better if it's in the cup. It'll be interesting to see how Arteta responds, of course.
But a concerning thing about this is that we're having this conversation on 2nd of January, because obviously the extension to that conversation is, what are they going to do in the window?
Well, yeah.
I don't really think they need to do that much. The squad's pretty good. They've got loads of options.
All eyes on the window, and no doubt all eyes on you, because you're a part of the transfer window furniture now.
Apparently, yellow tie is no longer welcome.
Uh-huh. But shiny trousers are, which we've seen you do. Right, before we go for a break, remember to listen to yesterday's New Year's Day special. Myself, Luke, Vish and Jim shared our New Year's resolutions for football. Do listen to that right after this episode if you haven't heard it already.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/ramble.
Here's a straight. Here's the goal.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Thanks to a friend of the Ramble, Paddy, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. And of course, that goal was the miracle at Arbroath on Saturday. Scottish Championship strugglers Arbroath were 2-0 down against the league leaders Raith Rovers. Scottish Championship, the second tier of Scottish football. Incredible. It's not like some sort of, you know, Sunday league or, you know, amateur level. This is a you know, second tier. A very fine country when it comes to the football and history and so on. And they're against the league leaders, Raith Rovers. Jim McIntyre had only four players on the bench, Arbroath manager. So in the 58th minute, he put on the second goalkeeper, Ali Adams.
58th minute?
Yeah. So, I mean, against the Scottish Championship league leaders.
Yeah, bare bones. Doesn't do it justice.
Three minutes later, Raith Rovers go 2-0 up. In the 76th minute, Adam scored an absolute beauty on the turn from about 30, 35 yards out. It's an absolute peach. So, yeah.
Genuinely, like, a top-notch finish. If you haven't seen it, you'd be astonished it was a goalkeeper and you didn't know.
But it's like, it's the fact that the way he turns and he's already kind of worked out what he's going to do. Mm. It's not just it's dropped him and he's kind of gone, that's a bit of a hit and hope.
Yeah, he's not run onto it. He turns.
Yeah, it looks like it's like peak Ibrahimovic stuff.
Like, they can kick it really hard, can't they, goalkeepers? Sometimes, well,
it's like Kevin Pressman taking a pen.
But yes.
It wasn't dissimilar to that, actually, was it?
Yeah, it's that type of idea.
Blast of it.
Yeah, goal of the season already.
Well, so as is the way with modern football consumption, I spent a lot of the weekend massively overthinking this. And because, you know, so goalkeepers, generally good strikers of the ball, as you've mentioned with Pressman there. And also, you know, in the warm-ups, they kind of, and in training as well, they hit half volleys to each other, so like to test each other out in goal. And often that is the job of the second goalkeeper to work out the number one, which is why Ali Adams, you know, actually, it's not a surprise really that he scored a banger from 30 yards.
is that a thing people should do more often then?
Well, I just think they do it, which is why he was able to get such a clean try. And they ended up drawing the game, yeah?
Yeah, well, it's incredible. The miracle of Arbroath, everybody. right, it's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend, we're placing a £10 Acca on four match odds, 90 markets across the Premier League, where any winning bets are paid out in 90 minutes. So you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. Game one, Andy picked Brentford to beat Crystal Palace. Palace won 3-1, of course. Jim, you picked Aston Villa to beat Burnley. They did 3-2.
But they did.
They did it. Luke picked Nottingham Forest to beat Manchester United. The Tricky Trees won 2-1. I picked Wolves and Everton to draw, and that didn't happen because Wolves won 3-0. I should have known better. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes. Now let us go to that match. Nottingham Forest 2, Manchester United 1. Forest beat Manchester United for the first time since 1994. You've got to be pleased for them, Vish.
Yeah, exactly. Over the moon. Yeah. Well done, them.
Well done, them. What were you doing in 1994?
This is dangerous if we start. Girls who like boys, who like boys, who think girls, who do boys, who like girls.
You weren't bopping to Blur then?
No, very late to Blur. Very late to a lot of music of that era.
You and I need to have a wee chat. Yeah.
I think we've done enough of that kind of stuff. Especially about 90s, early 90s music.
Okay, well, let's talk about the here and now then. 2-1, mate.
Let's talk about Blur. Can we talk more about Blur?
We could talk about Manchester United, how they were then compared to now. But yes, another poor result and performance from them. And Forest, but good value.
Mm. Yeah, very good value. I thought the most impressive thing from Forest's point of view was I thought they were too respectful of United in the first half. And they came out in the second half and basically clearly had a conversation at half time where they were like, right, actually these are there for the taking.
You know, it's lads, it's Man United.
Yeah. Well, to a point, because they came out and they were just a lot more intense with the ball. They committed a few more men forward, and that ended up playing out in Gibbs White's winner than the opening goal, but from Dominguez. But Yeah, they were really impressive. And genuinely, throughout the game, the biggest threat to Forest's goal was Matt Turner.
Yes.
Who was there to protect it.
Gary Neville was really damning.
Yeah. But he was... Sorry, he was dreadful.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, but
and then made amends. Yeah.
I think he made amends, though.
Do you have a co-commentator on, you know, an official broadcast, if you like, going, he's useless with his feet? Those were the exact words.
But he kicked the ball to himself, and it was so comical, they let it slide as the back pass.
No, I mean, I
understood that.
Yeah.
It's almost like it went through a vortex of, this is really shit, let him pick it up.
It depends how literal we're being, because obviously, you know, he's better than us with his feet, Andy. But in the context of the game...
It was dreadful.
No, but he wasn't saying he has been useless with his feet in this moment. He is saying, globally, he is useless with his feet. So it's quite... a permanent criticism of him. Now,
you see him as Charles Barkley.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that Turner is in a position because, obviously, the guy who's taken over was a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And he must know, unless he's extremely confident, that he's not the best goalkeeper at the club as well. Ooh. Even if he did go up and, as you say, make amends to an extent with the save just before the Gibbs White winner.
Yeah. Let's talk about Gibbs White then, because, my goodness.
What a player.
Yeah. And interesting, he said post-match, credit to the manager for sticking to his game plan and the way he wants us to play. It showed out there today. So, you know, praise for Nuno. He's not been there long, of course, but things have, you know, in terms of results, certainly improved. And you hate saying that, for old Steve Cooper. But, you know, that is the fact of it. But Nuno said of Gibbs White, we had Morgan Gibbs White when he was 16, of course, at Wolves. But now he's a different man. And the credit must go to Steve Cooper because I find a different player. And that's fair, isn't it? But Gibbs White, he's one of those players, Jim, who... Not quite sort of Grealish at Aston Villa levels, but when he plays... There is a swashbuckling nature to him with the skills and chipping in with some of the goals and so on, which is just wonderful to watch.
Absolutely. It's pleasing to have a player or to see a team really build themselves around an individual player in that way and that player to then deliver and step up. And maybe he is the sort of player who needs a platform like that. Perhaps Wolves weren't prepared to give it to him at the time because actually,
he's very young.
Thinking about it now, though, but this could have been a bit of a difficult situation for Gibbs White. Nuno Espirito Santo coming back in. Yeah. Like, oh, God, it didn't quite work out there. Maybe things will change. But clearly, he's the main man now. It's a good fit, isn't it? And they spent a lot of money on him. There's a lot of question marks about it at the time, but it's really sort of pleasing to see him develop and thrive. I mean, can an England call-up be far away? Is that unrealistic, do you think?
The ability's there. I mean, like, he's definitely one of my favourite four or five players in the Premier League. He's amazing to watch.
That's right.
On his day. But you're right, Jim. It's about Forest finding the platform for him. Mm-hmm. And it's about being a little bit more solid. It's felt like the form of the shape of the midfield has not been quite right. And, you know, if Nuno does anything, it's solidity. I think it was maybe you said, Marcus, you know, just because people remember that poor spell at Tottenham, but actually remember most of the period at Wolves.
Yeah.
He did an amazing job.
I think that the thing to say about Gibbs White as well is that Cooper backed him to do that role because he'd worked with him at England level.
That's
and
right.
that was a big big point that Cooper made, that like, I think this guy can carry the responsibility of, you know, being the driving force in midfield and also being the creative force. And one of the reasons, you know, I'm with Andy. He's one of my favourite players to watch in the league. And part of that is because he's got such an open remit.
Yes.
And it's quite rare to see that in the Premier League. Everything is very structured, and a lot of the time we're excited by the players who do expansive things within those parameters. But it feels like his horizons are a bit more broadened because he has to be that player for Forest. And I suppose for England, the thing will be, right, mate, you know, you would have earned this call-up, but got to tone it down a bit. You can't be bombing off here and there. We've got other players to do that. And I suppose the question is, can he be a bit more subdued?
Totally. I mean, from a neutral point of view, again, like, I would want him to stay as long as possible at Forest.
Oh, 100%.
Because, you know, look, Grealish, comparison to Grealish, in terms of a footballer who we loved watching, and when he goes to Manchester City, of course, has to learn and perhaps relearn a lot of things, add a bit more industry, and Grealish is a better player now. There's no two ways about that. But again, in pure selfish neutral terms,
that's a really good question on Grealish. You know, maybe he's, you know, more of the finished article. But did you enjoy him more at Villa?
Yeah, absolutely,
definitely, yeah, of course,
yeah. And I think that's Gibbs White is one of those players. I'm not saying he couldn't go to a bigger side.
and kind of still do that. But again, it's
but do
just,
we want to see him start once every 3 weeks?
Yeah, well,
or even just yeah, just be a watered down version of the player we see now. Because if you think about it, like you know, let's say when we're talking about this move, we're talking about top six, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you think of like how many players actually go in and are allowed to like be that flair player.
Yeah,
probably only Madison at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. But yeah, another thing that was noteworthy that. Now, I don't speak or read Polish, of course, but a Polish TV channel covering this game was seen comparing Old Trafford to the shopping centre in Manchester, the Trafford Centre.
Yes.
And we're only going on a tweet, which a chap called Jack put on Twitter. And you've got the big board, the presenter in front of it. Again, I've no idea what it is, but Manchester United is obviously the topic. And below that, you've got Old Trafford, 2 stars out of 5. Trafford Centre, 3 stars out of 5. Yeah.
And the word infrastructura over it. I think we can have a guess at
yeah.
Like, what? Translating.
Yeah, the chicken at the Trafford Centre is fine.
This is it, isn't it? I mean, Man United are a global brand, as we know. They have a lot of different global partners in a lot of different you know industries.
But it's not for the Trafford Centre to get a mensch.
Well, it is, but what I mean isn't is that it also means they're getting a lot of creative digs from all around the world at any one time.
But isn't it remarkable that a broadcast from an overseas country is getting stuck into the quality of the match they experience?
It's talking about a shopping centre.
That's another way of putting it, yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, look, Manchester United, Vish, what do you make of it all at the moment? I mean, The game against Aston Villa, obviously, it was a good win, and people thought the manner of the performance as well. Were they playing for the manager a bit more and so on? Andy was, to be fair to Andy, was quick to kind of hush that kind of chat. But some people thought that, but it just seems to be the same old.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I actually thought Villa were awful in that second half.
Yes.
Let Manchester United come at them, which is not the mistake that Forrest made.
Yeah.
In this game. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of to be expected. I mean, I suppose more and more because these results are happening so often, actually the conversation evolves each time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that, you know, Manchester United have had their fair share of injuries, and, you know, two players in Casemiro and Martinez who were important last season, mm-hmm. Certainly the back end of last season.
Maguire as well.
Maguire has actually helped fill a gap this season rather than last season. Mm-hmm. But you made the point that you put Maguire forward because he's out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, more and more you see some of the decisions that Ten Hag has made in games, really. So taking off Kobbie Mainoo midway through the Forest game, he made the point of saying that he's played a lot of games in a row, didn't think the energy was quite there, which is fine. He brought on McTominay, who tactically is quite ill-disciplined, also United's top goal scorer. So was obviously, you know, going for that threat going forward, but it meant the middle was completely open,
which was evident for
and
certainly
especially against the Forest being led by Gibbs White. It's asking for trouble.
Yeah, but especially seeing how the first half played out as well, and seeing like, you know, just fair enough, Kobbie Mainoo might have been, you know, lacking a bit of energy, but someone there is better than no one there, surely.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But that's a really basic point to make. But it's a decision that he made, and I think more and more. In part because of the Ineos takeover and, you know, Dave Brailsford being present at the last two games. Brailsford, who, I mean, we can get into the weeds of this. I don't necessarily think he has a track record, not just in football, of making smart decisions. I think, you know, I know he's a little bit more than being on the shop floor, but
what were you saying about someone's better than no one a couple of minutes ago?
I think there is a bit of that, sure. Yeah. I think if you look at some of the
Andy, would you rather autopilot in the cockpit or Kevin Keegan? It doesn't always work that.
I would say you know, if you look at, you know, I do a lot of work in cricket, and he was on a high performance panel after the Lossy Ashes in 2022, and but if you look at some of the things that he pushed forward as remedies to a structural system and how many actually came to pass, he basically gets paid for talking high performance speak.
That's before we get to signing Kasper Schmeichel and Aaron Ramsey for Nice.
Oh yeah, there's also that as well, because he wasn't involved in there. But basically, turn this all around, we're going to be in a situation here where, I think I mentioned it before, but they're going to be officially feet under the table and have to make a decision over the future of Ten Hag. And I think as each day goes by, you feel like more and more that decision, which they may deem as, you know, for popular reasons above anything else, will be to show Ten Hag the door.
But I think the idea that it's going to massively change his transfer window is nonsense.
Well, they can only really get in loan signings, can't they?
Well, that actually is ideal though, in a sense, isn't it? Because it gives
Wout Weghorst, Odion Ighalo, previously.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, there have been some good ones as well. When
it
I say
avoids
it's ideal,
millstones, well, doesn't
in,
it?
Indeed, it means they're going to make a decision on Ten Hag one way or the other. They're probably not going to do that without, you know, giving him a little grace period. Unfortunately, timing wise, that is a January transfer window, but they're not going to go and saddle themselves with players that the next guy won't want. Yeah. But the loan market is looking interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Ferguson signed Larsson though, didn't he, on that loan deal? So that was a little while ago, I think.
But still, there's a rich history of it.
There's a very rich one,
which might get richer now.
And there's certainly a history of it, I would say. There were reports in December that they were weighing up a loan move for Mauro Icardi.
Here we go.
Now again,
you know, sometimes when you see an oil fire and like you've been told, actually, just you put a blanket over it, you starve it of oxygen, but out of impulse you might throw water or in this case a grenade into it.
He scores goals.
Yeah,
scored at Old Trafford this season, hasn't he?
That more counts than a lot of yours can say. He knows the pitch.
The idea of this is extraordinary to me, obviously extraordinarily exciting, but Galatasaray really pushed the boat out to bring him in permanently. Why would they loan him 6 months later?
Because of the nonsense off field.
Because of the drama,
apparently, a few weeks ago there was chat that Wanda and Mauro are back together.
They were never really apart, Mark. Yeah. I think the interesting thing is, if United signed him at this point, I don't think it's likely, but if United signed him at this point, it would be the most current United thing to do at the moment. He hasn't trained for about 2.5 months. Because he's carrying an injury, so he's just playing the games, and his performance is getting worse and worse as time goes by. He's been brilliant for Galatasaray, but obviously, we're not talking Paul McGrath here. I think for a forward player, it's extremely difficult.
So you're saying he might not press? Is that what you're saying, Andrew?
He might not press.
Never would.
He's not
anyway.
Hard. You say he might not be able to work as hard as he normally does. Is that what you're
Can
saying?
Can we get
Andy?
Back to him and Wanda in the matching pajamas, please?
That's actually quite tame for them, isn't it?
The weirdest thing over Christmas was the matching black eyes, wasn't it? did he run into a post in a game?
Yeah, he was claiming that it was a challenge from, I think it was Alexander Djiku in the derby with Fenerbahce, for which they probably should have had a penalty that had given him the black eye. Mm. And obviously the Fenerbahce fans, and Edin Dzeko's properly into it, he was promoting it on social media as well, that later when Icardi walked into a post, ran into a post, that's where he got his black eye. But yeah, Wanda gave herself a matching one
with
a bit of makeup.
A little bit of solidarity there. Former Manchester United man, Cristiano Ronaldo, has proved that there is life after Old Trafford. He finished 2023 as the top scorer in men's football with 54 goals.
He's done it again, Jimmy!
I mean, that is impressive.
It is impressive, isn't it? There's no
Why are you slagging him then?
I'm not. I'm just saying he is the best.
Is that what we're doing now? We're making graphics for Portuguese TV.
Or Polish TV, Andy. Yeah. What's the shopping centre like in Riyadh? he recently told Roberto Martinez, Portugal manager, of course, that he wants to reach 250 caps for Portugal. He's currently on 205.
Told.
And I was about to say, the terminology is important here. He told him.
I think this is an error, actually. He recently told Roberto Martinez that he will reach 250 caps for Portugal.
Do you reckon Martinez goes in the dressing room and goes, lads, we're going to have a whip round. All in the black bag.
Yeah, a lot of late substitute appearances maybe. I don't know. Speaking of Saudi, a little Steven Gerrard update for anybody. It's been now 2 months. He's gone without a win at Al Ettifaq. So he's struggling. We spoke about the lack of English coaches or the lack of quality English coaches on Saturday's mailbag, and it looks like Gerrard's Saudi trip isn't going to plan, which is a shame.
That's awkward, isn't it? Because, you know, at the start of that run, you know, there weren't football in Saudi Arabia wasn't really a thing. But because Gerrard made it his life's work to, you know, improve the knowledge of the sport in the country, slowly they're finding out he's a bit of a fraud as a manager, aren't they?
I don't know about that, but he's setting
himself back by bringing them forward.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
Quite selfless.
The way that the Saudi Pro League is conflated in a media sense, in a worldwide media sense, makes us think that, oh, it's about discovery and it's about, you know, it's like going back to Vic Buckingham and, you know, missionary kind of coaches. But the football culture in Saudi is really strong. Obviously, this has gone into a different direction with all the money that's gone in. But if there's any football culture in which they're going to find out that he's a shit manager in the space of 3 months, this is probably it.
Gentlemen, I'd like to finish by talking about Crystal Palace 3, Brentford 1. Only Palace's second home win in the league this season. But Michael Olise and Eberechi Eze were scintillating. Vish, I know you're a fan of these two. We're all a fan of these two.
Yeah, how can you not be?
But
yeah.
My goodness, Olise, when he plays like that, a fantastic footballer. We talked about Gibbs White, you know, with that sort of, I don't know.
Fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, that sort of very, very fun and eye-catching kind of stuff. I want these two to stay at Palace as long as possible. I know Hodgson is not the most adventurous of coaches sometimes, but... You know, there are times when, you know, they are let off the leash and you know, the players behind them have to do the kind of the more of the kind of industrial heavy lifting. But when performances like that happen at Selhurst Park, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and at Selhurst Park feels like the key thing there. I think one of the more enjoyable things about those, I suppose this particular performance, because we're talking about it, is how you can tell the crowd are excited by it and that sense of thrill that passes through the stadium, because yeah, obviously Palace's home support is so good, but there's that sense that they are very appreciative of these two players that they're watching, in part because of what we said earlier, because there's an element of them being let off the leash a bit. Like Eze's, you know, really come on leaps and bounds. You know, he was a brilliant player at QPR. He started in a very accomplished way, but I like the fact that he's doing a lot more through the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, the drive for the goal and the way he took it with his left foot as well is just such a clean, attractive player to watch. And actually the flourishes maybe do him a little bit of a disservice there, because there's like a level of tactical acumen and just like general like match control that you don't necessarily associate with players like that. Like Olise, you feel like dives into a game every now and again, does something remarkable, and then like sits out a couple of players. But Eze is always involved. Yeah. At his best, he's always involved.
At least it's more that you think of him being a wide player. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
he's
out
there, and when you can get the ball to him, depending on, you know, as I say, how adventurous Palace are feeling on that day, or how the opposition is marking him and so on. But recently he's been absolutely brilliant. Despite that, though, Roy Hodgson wasn't very happy at full-time.
You surprised me.
Yeah, well, when asked about the speculation surrounding his job, he replied emphatically, "I'll tell you what I really think. I'm 76 years of age. I've been working for 47 years. I've got a CBE for my services to football, and I've got a CV which is incredible." "Speculation makes no difference. It isn't out of any interest to me at all, and to suggest that it should be is disrespectful."
Proper, like, let's not take the piss here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The extended version, like the director's cut. Like...
Now, this is the disco version.
Yeah. But people are only asking because of the stuff he said at the start. Because you're sick, you're 76, because you've been working in management for 47 years. Yeah. That's why they're asking.
Yeah. I know. There was a clip of him recently when he was at training, like, and he's pinging balls into the players, and they're like, he's 76, and you've just got to admire it. And he said, didn't he, when... I forget who interviewed him. They were walking around the Palace training complex, and you know, he was saying like, "Yeah, of course it keeps you young, all this kind of stuff," you know. And he's still got the love and the passion for it.
But I think it's really interesting how much he's been piqued by this, how much he's been annoyed by this, because I think there is a sense that something needs to change at Palace in the medium term. Now, look, they brought him back for a specific reason,
to help them
get over a difficult period. But they do need to be thinking to the medium and long term. And I think it's understandable, a bit like, you know, maybe Jupp Heynckes at Bayern, although it's slightly different, obviously, that feeling of it's not a great feeling for them to be planning the future while you're still there.
Yeah.
And he's someone who, as we can see from that, he's always falsely characterised as a modest man. He's not a modest man.
No, at all. I do agree with that point. By the way, the great reference, by the way, Jupp Heynckes, and of course, I agree with what you're saying. The great thing about that was because it was Guardiola coming after. Heynckes signs off, "There's the treble, lads." Beat that, Pep. What are we thinking? FA Cup for Crystal Palace?
Yeah, Hodgson, there we go.
There you go.
There we go.
Top that, Sonny boy.
If you can... outdance Pardew on the touchline at Wembley. that would be that ultimate finish to his Palace career.
Roy's not dancing like that. It'd be an old-fashioned waltz or something. He's not
ballroom
doing
with Elise.
Yeah,
the Charleston.
Yeah. Oh yes,
now you're talking.
That would be a surprise to us all. Even old Roy himself, you would say. Brentford, though, tell you what. I mean, speaking of bad runs and so on, 5 losses in a row, just 4 points above the relegation zone. I mean, this was such a crucial match for both sides.
Well, we said the other day that they can't sell Tony now.
No.
They've put themselves in the position where they can't sell him because it almost certainly equals relegation. Well, not almost certainly equals relegation. It almost certainly equals a relegation struggle.
Yeah, with the injuries that I know we talk about injuries a lot, but you know, some sides are clearly more affected, and when you have specific players as well, you know, and Mbeumo being the obvious one, you know, they really are suffering. Even though they weren't actually that bad in that game, and on another day maybe they'd have got something out of it. But Tony coming back, yeah, they need it. He'll be back in the squad from the 16th of Jan. So we shall see. And can he make that push into the Euro squad in the summer? That's the big question, Vish, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the only thing anyone at Brentford's concerned about.
Hey, if he got into the Euro squad, it would suggest he's probably played quite well.
Yes,
and that is beneficial to Brentford, you see. The big picture also contains the little pictures.
Loads of little pictures, yeah.
Oh dear. Friend of the Ramble Nesbitt commented on our Patreon page recently, if you ever want to hear a pitch perfect Bernie Sanders impression, ask Jim to do his Roy Hodgson impression.
I was unaware of this.
Fire away, Jim.
So yeah, I'll go through the quote.
I'll tell you what I really think. I'm 76 years of age. I've been working for 47 years.
I've got, you know, I can't do an impression if I have to think about it. I can do a reactive impression and it'll be alright, but I'm just going to abandon that there.
Yeah, you're totally Michael Caine.
I can see the Bernie bits in that though.
Yeah, it's just sort of a Cockney Bernie. Yeah. I like it. I do.
Let's
like
not
it.
Take the piss here.
Is that right?
that's it. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Bernie Sanders.
I'm walking here.
Pete does quite.
It's a trap. Yeah. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Admiral Akbar Sanders. Yeah. That was. Well, there we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Vish, Andy, and I will be back tomorrow alongside Luke Moore. Get your ears around that lot. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello Ramblers and Happy New Year. We've already given away one 50-inch Toshiba Fire QLED TV, but there are two left. We've also restarted the draw, so it doesn't matter if you'd entered in the last round, you have another shot at a TV and you'll need to enter again. So to enter, just search lnk.to/ramblecompetition in your web browser. That's lnk.to/ramblecompetition. Then pop in your email address and you are done. Plus, if you sign up to the Football Ramble Patreon, you will be entered twice. We'll be announcing our next winner on Friday, January the 5th. Please note that only UK listeners are eligible to enter.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.